Blog Talk Radio.
Insight Live Worldwide, dedicated to the memory and the honor of Joseph Arian. There's an old saying, it goes back over 1,000 years, and it was established by the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he said, the devil cannot cast out the devil. He was talking to the religious leaders at the time, I believe. And the principle that he wanted to teach was very, very important. You know, that you cannot get rid of hatred with more hatred. And so it's so true today. Many of the demonstrators have expressed violence and hatred, be it toward blacks or whites or anyone, you know. So toward the end of serving no purpose, going out and smashing windows and taking what you want, you know, how many of those businesses that were ruined owned by black people, you know, the very people that are many times are the victims, as we disabled are. It's so hard because you cannot you can't legislate love. How do you do that? You can't do that, you know. And no matter what you do, people can always turn around and surprise you and do what they want anyway. And when you're a cop, it's so hard to determine what you're going to do because you don't know the situation you're walking into or you're getting into. So there's a lot of different factors here. So the way that I believe, in a sight believe, I should say, to minimize this hatred is to try to find out as much as possible if a person who wants to be a police officer has hatred in them, has the elements, has the emotions of being a hater, you know, which obviously I believe this cop had who killed Mr. Floyd. And the Attorney General now going for, it was in the news today, pin murder one on this cop and the rest of them as accessories. By the way, these are not the average good police officers that put their lives on the line every day. These are not examples of the cops that I grew up with, that many of us know, the friends we've had. One police sergeant, an ex-police sergeant, who's a supporter of Inner Sight. His son is on this show every week on the Funnies. There's the guy who worked in one of the supposed worst crime neighborhoods in the country, never drew his gun once. So we salute the good officers. We salute those who put their lives on the line to protect people, protect the innocent, and all the others. That's their job. And they go out there and they do it every day, no matter what. So we definitely salute those and honor those. But when you get a bad cop, like this guy, I don't even know his name. You know what? I don't even want to know his name. But when you get a bad cop, and then you realize that, you know, this kind of hatred has to be filtered out of the police department and has to be discovered in those who want to be police officers. You know, they have to take tests, civil service, I believe. So we propose, and this would have to be worked out. We haven't worked out all the details on this. We propose that trained dogs, dogs that can pick up emotions, dogs are very, very sensitive. Dogs can tell what's going on inside of a person. And many a times, these dogs can pick things up that the human mind will miss. So why not, as part of the evaluation for somebody who wants to be a cop, use a trained dog to determine if this person who wants to be a police officer has hatred in them toward the minority. Now, you'd have to work out the details. I would strongly suggest, if this is going to be done, and I hope it would be, I would suggest one person that I know could orchestrate this idea, and that would be the daughter of the great ex-captain, Captain Haggerty, his daughter Babette, who is an expert on dogs and the emotions and the abilities that they possess. But don't we have to try new things? I mean, obviously, being done now to evaluate these officers has not been the best. You know, we've had other people killed. We've had, there's a proposal, I believe, by the governor of New York to ban the chokehold. You know, to stop officers from using that. Okay, that's good. But that doesn't reveal the hatred, if the person has hatred. You know, why not try to reveal that hatred? And dogs are pretty accurate. And it's hard to fool a trained dog. Very hard. You know, they get determined, they get set in their ways, they're going to do their job no matter what. So we urge every police department in this country to look into this idea. I know from my own dog, she's a guide dog, all right? She knows her work. She knows what danger is. She knows what good stuff is. She knows what dangerous people are. She can sense hostility in people. She can sense when someone is friendly. And she's never been wrong yet. So we'll come back and talk about this some more, but use it. Urge Mr. Trump to use it, and I want to talk about that. Take a little break. Inner Sight Around the World, brought to you by the Big East, Akita Rescue. Great, great dogs. And they have a good job for an Akita. Very, very sensitive. Work dogs. They're good people dogs. Joanne Diamond is the Akita lady. 609-388-7004. You want to adopt an Akita? Their whisker walk is coming up by the end of June. June 28th, I believe it is. Around the world, Inner Sight Kennedy Realty. My buddy Anthony Kennedy at 631-888-1186. Buy a house, sell a house, or just get some good information. Mr. Kennedy and a good friend to inner sight. All right. I want to thank our friend Jimmy the Poet, who whose poem we're going to try to get up on our television show if we get back in that studio. Jimmy's a good supporter of Inner Sight, and we thank him for it. We appreciate it. Around the world, Inner Sight means freedom. Advocates for the disabled. And that saying comes thanks to our former director who passed away, Joseph Arion. All right, what else we got? My buddy Gary, nobody starves on Long Island. Dog food, cat food, medical for your animal. 631-484-3085. 684-3085-631. You need dog food or cat food, give Gary a call and see if he can help you. All right, what else we got? Around the world, Inner Sight, some of our friends, SuttonInsurance.com, GoodMojoPrinters.com, TuroLawCenter.com. And speaking of law, don't forget our civil rights lawyer, James Bahamundi, at 516-783-9662. If you have any civil rights questions, Jimmy will answer them right on the phone. Let's see. Around the world, we go every night, 8 to 9. And by the way, we're on television at 8:30, Channel 20, here on Long Island, all over the island. And later on tonight, Manhattan Neighborhood Network, 11 o'clock, 1997, Channel 3 on the Spirit Channel. So give us a look. And we apologize that we've had to run reruns. They've closed the studio out here. We're hoping they're going to open it soon. We can get back in there, do some new shows. All right, Inner Sight reminds you, all the beautiful children of the world, watch out for them. Take care of them. Love them. Cherish them. Corey Foster, Avanti Oquindo, Little Tommy, all those who should have had better care and protection. And along that, in connection with that, I want to mention that people going to these demonstrations, I strongly oppose the children being out there. It's not the safest place for a child. And, you know, you got to get somebody to watch them who will keep them safe, of course. But I would urge people to think twice about bringing their child to these demonstrations, because you never know when violence is going to flare up. All right, Inner Sight, around the world, SILO, Suffolk Independent Living Organization, 631-880-7929. Information, referrals. You're fighting for Social Security. They're good as advocates for that. So give them a call, and they are answering the phone. And I know at least one person who has been talking with a counselor over there. So they are doing some things. You'd have to call them and get more details. 631-880-7929, SILO. Around the world, Inner Sight, Baccaro's Italian Tavern. Our good friends over there at Massapequa Park, New York, 1020 Park Boulevard, Massapequa Park, 516-798-1555. And according to the Reuters report, Governor Cuomo says that outdoor seating for the restaurants will start tomorrow. All right, so I believe they have some outdoor seating over there. So check that out. Again, that phone number, 516-798-1555. We thank Beccaro's for honoring Joe Arion last year on his birthday. Inner Sight around the world. And we praise Mr. Trump, the president. A lot of people criticize him. You know, people don't realize it's easy to criticize. It's not easy being president of the United States, especially when all these things are flaring up in front of you and you have to deal with them. I think Mr. Trump's idea and his threatening to bring in the military, not that I'm crazy about guns and all that and, you know, hurting people, I'm totally against that. But the president is obligated to protect us. And you cannot lose control of the streets because of hatred. All right? So they said this morning on the news, and I hope it's true, that the peaceful demonstrators have been out. They said that the violence has slackened off, you know, and I have to believe that's true. I hope it's true, and I hope that it continues. So maybe Mr. Trump's idea made people think twice. I don't want to go up against the military. Yes, and we here at Inner Sight. And we're going to try to send some of this on Twitter to President Trump. We here at Inner Sight urge the president to call a meeting, either at the White House or online, whatever way he designates it, a meeting of all the governors and all the police chiefs together, and let them know that he, as the president, will not tolerate hatred in the police departments all over this country, and demand to know what they're doing about it, to weed it out, to get rid of it. And I would hope and pray that that would include our idea of trained dog to determine emotions in people and to try to figure out if that person has hatred toward another person. Now, as I said earlier, the details of that have to be worked out. I know that dogs can do it. I've used dogs all my life as a blind person. And they're very, very sensitive to these things. And if they're trained, it's even better. So we urge Mr. Trump to get people together. Give them the idea of using dogs to determine if a person is being hateful. All right. By the way, we don't have an engineer in here yet, but the call-in number is 213-816-1650. I'm a subway performer here in New York City, and a few months ago, I was on the subway, and there was a guy raging on there, and he was complaining and cursing out white people, a black guy, I believe he was. And he was really going on and on and on. A lot of people were afraid of him. Well, as I got on this car, I heard him, you know, and he took one look at my dog and his whole demeanor changed. He immediately calmed down, got very quiet, and I believe he got off at the next stop, so I don't know what happened after that. But the point being, all my dog did was look at him, you know, and I suppose he was so shocked to see an Akita on the subway. I don't know if he knew the breed, but point given, the dogs can tell things. The dogs can calm people down. The dogs can teach people, you know. If I ask my dog a question, many a times she'll show by her body language the answer is. So don't underestimate the smarts of dogs, because they're invaluable. And I believe the police department, well, you know, the cops use them as they use them as police dogs already. Now, why can't a lot of those police dogs be trained to determine if a person is hateful toward a minority person? Again, you have to get the right people to orchestrate this. You know, yeah, you should do it as a pilot program. Test it out. Try it. See what people think of it. Since the dogs are already known to the police department, why not? I hope the politicians are listening. I would hope that they would pick up on this. You may need legislation to bring this about, which shouldn't be too hard given the circumstances and given the idea that people undoubtedly will be looking for new ways to minimize the hatred. Now, when an officer puts on that badge and goes out and all that, he or she has to leave their feelings behind. You know, if you're a white person and for some reason you don't like black people, you know, that should not go with you when you're going out to do the job. You should protect everyone. Even if you're off duty, it shouldn't go with you. But the point is, how many people have those feelings and they stay inside them, and then all of a sudden, given different circumstances, they come out. And sometimes they come out in the form of violence. So officers have to keep their heads in a situation. Again, you don't know what the cop's going to walk into. You don't know what circumstances they have to deal with. They have to protect themselves. Now, the other thing is I'd like to see happen, and I don't know how much has been done on this or is being done, that when officers are working in pairs, and one officer sees another officer doing something horrible, like what they did to George, they should immediately break in and stop it, not just stand by and let it happen. That was horrible what they did. Why didn't they stop this guy from suffocating Mr. Floyd? Well, I think that has to be if it's not trained already, which I don't believe it is. I believe the cops we'll stick together no matter what. And that's not right. You see somebody killing somebody, you know, for no reason at all, especially if they're a police officer, and you're another cop and you're there, you're obligated, in my mind, person away and say, hey, you know, just take it easy. I'll handle this. You know, whatever you have to say. So there's another thing that the president should definitely be dealing with when he calls in the governors and the police chiefs on a meeting. You know, that all police officers must be instructed, take an oath, I believe, to the fact that they won't stand by and watch an innocent person hurt. Now, I'm not talking about when a cop has to defend himself, you know, against somebody who's trying to kill him or something. That's different. But in this case, my understanding is the man was down on the ground, handcuffed. And the three other officers, three or four, whatever they were, stood by and let this happen. Why didn't they save George? Why didn't they do something about it? So that has to be dealt with. That's a serious thing, and it must be reviewed, it must be changed, and it should be at every roll call. Every roll call in the police department, the desk sergeant or whoever does the roll call should remind cops not only to be careful out there, but remind them, remember, you're there to help people, not to kill them. You know, and if you see one of your fellow officers doing something that you don't believe is right, step in. That can be done. They should be reminded of that every day. Every day, every roll call. The sergeant should be reminding them that's part of their obligation. All right, Inner Sight, hello. You the engineer?
No, I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing right now. I'm not feeling well.
Well, what are you doing on the air, if you know?
I'm trying to help. That's all.
Inner Sight. 213-816-1650. And can you check the line?
Yeah, there's Maureen. She's just queued in once I came on.
All right. We're talking tonight about what happened to George Floyd.
Yeah, no.
How dogs can be utilized to determine if a person is a hater, you know, the emotions.
Oh, yeah. We talked about that.
And we're talking about how we believe Mr. Trump ought to call a meeting, be it online or in person, of all the governors and the police chiefs to put into place a serious policy, a workable policy, and hopefully to employ the dogs in determining hatred. And demand to know, what are you doing to ensure that this never happens again to anyone else?
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's what needs to be done.
Okay.
You know, and even to the extent where they should report back to the president on it.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. Michelle Charlesworth ABC News, was, you know, referring to the president and referring to the governor today and talking about things, you know, on Twitter. And she said that, listen, you got to take into consideration that a lot of these protesters are peaceful. She said that. She said it. A lot of these protesters, and there's just a few that aren't. And that you have to take into consideration that there's only a few that aren't. And, you know, that you have to, and the few that aren't are making it bad for the few, you know, that are peaceful. So they changed the curfew again. So I think it's...
Well,
later.
I don't know what the numbers are, but, you know...
Yeah.
What I'm concerned about are the people who are protesting, let's say the peaceful one, right?
Right.
Are they proposing a solution, a possible solution?
Oh, I don't know. I have to find out more about it.
That's the
I
thing that they should be doing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all right to get out there and say justice for George and all that, and you know, there is justice coming about. They want to change it to murder one.
Well, they changed it to murder two already. I just heard it on the news before I came on, and I'm like, wow. Cool. So now they're moving it up. I'm hoping they make it murder one, honestly. That was horrible. What I saw, I cannot get out of my mind. I mean, I wish, honestly, I wish I didn't see it. I really do. Because
yeah.
It was terrible.
People
I wish
should
I
be united.
Really hear it or see it.
People
more.
Should be united in a solution.
I agree.
You know? That's what we need. How do you prevent this from happening ever again? Well, how do you give it your best shot? I mean, nothing is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but how do you prevent it? How do you what do you do to try to prevent it from ever happening again?
Right.
You know.
Right. And it's still happening with the protesters, which is even more dreadful. As you are trying to protest against this happening, it's happening with the protesters, which is even more disgraceful. Do you know? How
well,
could you...
people,
hating,
yeah,
hating,
people,
hating
people who
badly.
Are out there, who the people who are out there who have caused damage and fires and stealing, they don't care about George.
Mm-hmm. No, it's even. I don't know who's getting paid to do this on both ends, on either the police end and also the looting end, and also the people who are vandalizing and hurting the police officers.
Well,
that
has to be investigated.
There has to be. There has to be people getting paid to do this.
Investigated by the federal government.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. I think that's my gut feeling. And I'm usually right with my gut feelings. I am usually right. I hate to say it.
But the main thing is to prevent it from happening again.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, that's the main thing. And that's why Inner Sight is presenting some of these ideas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so far we have the two. Get the meeting together with the chief police and the governors and start utilizing the dogs to determine...
Yeah.
If people have the emotion of hatred toward minorities.
A hating tendency. And it's not only the minorities. I'm going to actually put in there. Now, people might not agree with me, but I'm going to put in there the elderly and the disabled. Seriously.
Well,
really
sure,
but
we're a minority.
Yes, we are. Period.
No.
And all minorities.
Minority.
I'm not only going to put black, I'm going to put all minorities in there. Every single minority.
Of course.
Every single minority. Anybody you consider a minority, put it in there. Anybody.
Should be.
Because that's important. Hatred is horrible. Period.
Yeah, right.
You can't.
That's why you
got
to try to identify it.
Yeah.
Before a person becomes an officer of the law, you got to try to identify that in a person.
Yeah. I mean, if you've got somebody easygoing, that's the type of person you want. Somebody who's able to understand another person and love somebody for who they are, but not, I mean,
well,
able to protect themselves.
You still should test them. Whether they're easygoing or not.
Of course. Now, I'm not talking about fully easygoing. They need to be able to protect their partner. You know, they need to be able to protect their partner and protect themselves, but yet, at the same time, negotiate. That's the biggest thing that a police officer needs, the first thing, to avoid conflict. That's the first thing they need to know. Avoid conflict. Minimize and bring down the conflict first. If you do that, let me tell you, you've got a big, you know, that's A1 in a police officer. I mean,
if you can do it, sure.
My uncle, through marriage, never fired out of 32 years of being a police officer. 32 years, never fired his firearm. And he said to the Yeah, and he never did it. He was a beat cop and then went into narcotics towards the end. And he became a narcotics officer. And at the end, he said to the person, listen, I don't want to shoot you. He said this, I can't run after you, but I don't want to shoot you. You're threatening my life. You're threatening my partner's life. And they used to call them black and white, salt and pepper, because they were, at that time, in the 60s and 70s, they were the only black and white officer because they loved each other. They helped each other. They were together. That's what you need. That's what you need. Two people.
Well, you need that.
You
need that toward the public too, not just toward each other.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
You need that type of relationship towards the partners and the public, period. Done deal. Do you know what I'm saying? It's simple. It's very simple.
Well, hopefully the politicians will try and put into practice new things. You know, the old stuff obviously has not worked. It's time for change.
Yeah.
It's like everything else.
Yeah.
You know, and unfortunately, these politicians haven't done a damn thing to change.
Okay, I'm going to say something that people might not like. Hatred's an easy out. It is. Hatred is an easy out. Because it's so easy to be hateful, but it's very hard to love somebody even though they hate you. Really. It's so easy, you know, to hate somebody that does something wrong to you. It's very easy to do that. But it's not easy to love.
Well, not to me. It's not. It's hard for me to be hateful.
Well, what happens if somebody does something very hateful to you and your dog? Would you love that person? That's a very hard thing.
Yeah, but I might kick their ass. But I'd still love them.
You still would love them?
After I kicked their ass, yeah.
That's true.
All right, Inner Sight.
That's
213-816-1650. You want to call in, you want to comment, you want to talk about the subject, you want
Maureen's
to praise Mr. George Floyd. I heard he's from Houston, Texas originally. They went down there and they gave him a memorial, and they made it a point of saying on the news that there was no violence down there in Texas.
Yeah.
So there you have it.
I don't know why.
Everybody had a gun, you know. there's an example set.
Yeah.
You know, and they said it because they called him the gentle giant.
Yeah.
You know, so let the rest of the country take their lead from that. You know, you really want to honor George? You want to change this thing? You know,
also, Frank, I don't know. There might be something.
And wait a minute, I'm not finished.
Okay.
Don't go out there and break windows and start fires because you're not honoring George with all that stuff.
No,
they didn't do that in Texas, so they say.
No. Yeah.
So keep the right kind of spirit if you want to honor George. Otherwise, stay home. Now, what were you going to say?
What I was going to say is that I don't know if it has anything to do with the ability to carry a concealed weapon. That's another idea why there's not as much violence in Texas. People know that everybody has the ability to carry a concealed weapon there. So that's another reason why people don't. There's not as much violence there.
Well, I would say it makes people think twice.
Exactly. Exactly.
Definitely. But this is in connection with George,
twice.
So.
Yeah, I know. I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Makes people think, oh, that person can shoot me if, you know, I, you know, try to do something wacky against them, you know? Yeah.
All right, Innocite, we have a caller?
Yes, we do. We have Maureen.
Innocite Live, hello. Maureen,
okay,
our nursing home advocate.
Hi.
Hey.
How are you? Hi, guys. Hi, how you doing?
Yeah, hi.
Good, good.
Yeah. Well, you know, there obviously was something wrong with him, but how could the other three just, you know, be there and not try to stop him? That's the, you know, how could they just do that, you know?
Yeah, I know. I saw it, and it was, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I said, how could anybody, you know, how could the other three just, you know, be there and let him take the breath out of somebody's life? You know, what was wrong with
him? They were helping this horrible cop kill this guy.
The only thing I could think of is if they were intimidated by him. I don't know, in some way, shape, or form.
If they were what?
Still intimidated by him. If he was a bully of sorts. I don't know. That's the only thing I just can't
buy. Nah,
remember.
I don't buy that. I don't buy that.
You don't buy it? Mm-hmm. Okay. Then I don't buy
no.
it either. The only thing that came fleeting to my mind was that, or hatred. His own hatred, you know.
Well,
or their
own
hatred.
Oh, that's my fault.
You know?
One of them I heard
too.
Said, he has no pulse. I think we should turn him on his side. But the other guy, the killer, said, no, we're going to leave him like this.
Yeah, that's the only thing that made me question if he's being a bully, you know?
And what were the odds of him coming to the call where this guy was, that they knew each other? That's, you know, how did
well,
he get,
he probably,
you know what I mean?
They probably said, you know, there's this, you know, person who's tall, blah, blah, and this guy, you know, attempted blah, 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 and then when he came, there this guy was. I mean, I don't know. Huh?
I don't know.
They should have gotten their sergeant or lieutenant on the radio and said, what should we do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's another thing they could have done. Why didn't they make radio contact with their commanding officer?
The other officers,
yeah.
That's what
this guy won't go in the vehicle. He's tall or whatever, and he won't go in the vehicle. He refuses to go in the vehicle. What should we do? Or whatever the case may be. We don't want to force him into the vehicle, but what should we do? What do you suggest? You know, something like that.
Yeah. I mean, when they had him down, where was he going to go anyway? You know what I mean? They were falling.
Yeah, I mean, he's cuffed. The guy is cuffed.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen
there's no way he
could have
gotten up anyway.
Well, what they do in Texas, I've seen, okay, they get the paddy wagon, okay, they take your back legs and they cuff them to your front legs, and then they just conveniently take you and they just put you, they actually place you. They don't throw you. They don't do anything. This is what I've seen, because I was there when somebody who was drunk and disorderly, they put him in the paddy wagon. They placed him. They didn't throw him. They placed him in the paddy wagon. And that was it.
Oh, they didn't have a paddy wagon.
No, I didn't see no paddy wagon. They had an SUV, but they didn't have it. But they could have placed him in the back of the SUV. Why couldn't they place him in the back of the SUV? Nice and conveniently. Why couldn't they do that?
Yeah.
You know? In the long bench area of the SUV. They could have done that. They have long bench area in the back of an SUV. Why couldn't they do that?
That's why they're guilty, because they didn't do it.
Yeah. They could have cuffed
and all of it was
his
over
back legs to
20,
his front legs. if he didn't want to get
Wait,
into
Maureen,
the
what were you saying?
No, I said, and all of it was over like a counterfeit 20, like the guy on Staten Island a few years ago. He was just selling e-cigarettes. I could see if you're in the middle of, like, killing somebody, they could use force, but not over, you know, something simple like these two issues weren't even that.
Or if you're
shooting
at the
police.
I mean,
they were wrong, but they didn't have to be killed for it, you know what I mean?
If you are firing at all officers and full blast firing with automatic, you know, machine guns, then they have the right to protect themselves.
Right.
That's my opinion. Okay, but
this guy
wasn't even doing that.
Well, we're not talking about this.
Right.
The guy was handcuffed and he was down on the ground.
That's right.
You know, and they should have helped him.
I mean, hurting him. I mean, not shooting, but why are you hurting him? And even in other cases, they, you know, across the nation and previous times, they just shot at people. What the heck?
Well, I remember Amadou Diallo wasn't doing anything, and
times.
Like there were like six or seven cops fired 41 shots. I mean, after the second
times,
or third, you got to know the guy's going down, you know. But 41 shots, and he had nothing. He wasn't armed or anything.
He had his wallet. He was taking his wallet out or something.
Right. You know, and
so,
as far as I know,
they
wallet ain't a weapon.
Black, they saw the black wallet, and they thought it was a gun. Excuse me?
Well, you can't
what do you mean
think.
They can't
you
see?
Have to.
Yeah, exactly. They saw
that's
the
that's
black
thing
about
that's
cops
a wallet.
They can't see.
They,
they
the
can't tell a wallet from a
wallet.
Gun.
That's right. And they thought it was a gun.
That's a lie.
Yeah.
Mm. And so you shoot somebody
41
times just to make sure.
Yeah.
And that's craziness.
That's hatred.
That's real hatred.
Mm-hmm.
That's hatred.
Mm-hmm.
That's
like that
right there. That's right.
Yes.
And they still remain.
That's
cops
exactly what we're talking about, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Stuff like that has to be found out before they become cops.
Police officers, correct.
Mm-hmm.
Got to be a way.
Right.
And that's why we believe that the dogs can help to determine.
Well.
Emotion.
Well, wasn't the little Tommy's father? He was a cop.
Yes, he was.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Little Tommy's father.
Also,
What's his name?
Yeah, he was. But I think also. Now, don't get me wrong, but the job itself also adds to distortion of the mind. It does. And I think that continually police officers should go through testing for hatred, and also they should continually go through psychology. There's a whole belief, okay, that they're strong men and they don't have, you know, that they could handle it and blah, 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 or strong women and they could handle it. You know what? Screw that. You know, and if you don't have that philosophy, and if you don't have that strength, you are made fun of, and you are belittled, and you are, you know, freak that. September 11th proved a lot of brought a lot of officers down and screwed with people's minds. Seriously.
Well, last year we were having there were quite a few killed themselves. Remember, I know one was over here in Forest Hills, over here by Forest Hills Stadium.
Yeah.
So there were like 20 or something like that killed themselves.
The job, is very stressful, very stressful. My uncle, I remember this, and I remember like right before his retirement, he was getting real wacky, and he said, "That's it, I'm done. I'm real done. I'm cooked. Put a fork in me." He just said, "I'm starting to really get a warped view on life. I really need to get out." That's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
He actually said,
well,
I really need to get out.
They must come upon some pretty horrific sights and actions
after
a while, you know?
Yeah. There was one time, the reason why he said that, he retired when, remember years ago, you guys both probably remember the scene, that murder scene that was in Queens, okay, that was, in the 80s, that the police officer got shot while he was sitting on surveillance. Well, that was in his precinct, and he had to go. And yeah, it was a young man who had just became a father and everything. I think he was a father. I'm not even sure, but he was. It was a young man. He was sitting in surveillance in the car, and I don't know if it was a gang shot or something. And they literally his brains and everything were all over the car and all that. Yeah, it was horrible.
Yeah, yeah.
And he had to investigate the scene, and he just said, "That's it. I'm done. I'm cooked. I can't do it anymore." That's what he said.
Right.
He knew the guy. Mm-hmm. That's why.
Well, you
got to
know yourself. Right. That's for sure.
Yeah, he knew it. He knew it.
Mm.
He knew that was it. That was his end. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when you see somebody's brains all over, that's got to be really
horrific. That you knew and you spoke to the that day, and now their brains are all over the car is kind of rough. You know?
Right.
You know, I don't think I can handle that. And he didn't cry. He didn't cry. I think it would have been good if he actually let it out and went for psychology.
Yeah.
He didn't do any of that. Because you know why?
Mm-hmm.
It was shunned against. That's the problem. They need to have open, like, psychology. Open, you know, it needs to not be shunned.
Right.
It needs not to be, you know, the behavior of actually crying or all of that needs not to be shunned. Seriously.
Right.
You know, but yeah, it is. It is very much shunned.
Yeah.
That strong man and strong woman attitude is so reinforced that it really distorts
You can be strong, but it doesn't mean you got to be stupid. And, you know, you still have common sense.
That's it.
You got to have common sense.
Yeah, my cousin retired, and he's like a little bit, you know, younger than me. He retired, and now he does prepares security for people. He retired after September 11th. He's like, that's it. I had it. That's it. Yeah. After September 11th. He was in the, what was it, Brooklyn, Bed-Stuy.
Mm.
Yeah. You tell me that's, Bed-Stuy was a real interesting area.
Bed-Stuy.
That's the
really rough
that he was in. Oh, yeah.
Mm.
He was in the, I don't know if he was in the narcotics, I don't know what, narcotics or gangs, something like that. One of those dreadful teams. And he was just like, that's it, no more.
Mm.
Now he's moved to Staten Island, and he's, you know, doing security. And he loves it, you know?
Yeah.
And he has kids and everything, and he recovered, meaning he recovered his life. He's with his wife, his kids, everything. It's totally different, you know, for him now. But before, he felt like he was married to his job. You know, he always says it too. It felt like I was married to my job, you know.
Yeah, you're going to get out when you know it's the right time and you can't take it anymore.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, how long was this? Anybody have any info? How long was this killer? How long was he a cop?
I don't know.
I don't even know how old he is. I don't know. That's a good question. Maybe that
details,
had a lot to do with it, too. You know? I don't know.
No,
we
haven't
heard
much.
Did he see? What did he see?
Yeah.
What made him be so hateful? What was, you know, did somebody do anything to him in the past? You don't know any of these questions. But I'm not saying that's excusing him. No, nothing excuses his actions. But he should have been responsible enough to get psychology no matter what they said. He should have used the union. That's what the damn union's for. You know?
Well, I mean, even if they knew each other and something, you know, in the past had
happened,
that still doesn't give him the right to kill. You know,
that's
just,
right.
I don't know.
That's
right. It would have to be something really, I don't know. You know.
It doesn't give him the right to take away the, you know, a father of a child. It doesn't give him that right. I'm sorry.
Did Floyd have children?
Yes, he had a young girl, and the young girl went on TV. They put her on TV, and the kid is, like, literally beside herself. She's saying,
How old is his daughter?
6 years old.
Oh, she's little.
I didn't see that.
Yes, very. Six. Yeah, it's horrible.
I know his fiance,
wife?
And he's got...
He has a fiance and a wife. Yeah, I think.
Oh.
So, I don't know how that works, but yeah.
Oh.
So I didn't ask.
And he
him,
has.
I didn't know anything
and he
more
had a,
about it. That's all I know.
He had a sister and a few brothers. I know a couple brothers.
Yeah,
I've seen.
Yeah,
they've
he
been
has
around
siblings too. Yeah, but the two brothers that I saw, I don't know about the sister. I didn't see the sister.
Mm.
I think I saw the sister. I don't know. There's so much has been going on. It's hard to keep track of everything.
Yeah, she was
but
on originally
bad.
On the radio.
I really do. I think people just had it. They broke.
Mm.
Between the coronavirus and not having any employment, it killing more African-American people than, you know, Caucasian and other races. It's just that they broke, literally.
Mm.
That's what happened.
Yeah, I mean, you had to be kept in, and it was, and then when you can go out, then, you know, something like this has to happen, and then, you know, it's just too much, you know?
Really, I could see where they had, but then I could also see where there are actors, meaning, not actors and actresses, there are people placing, you know, on both sides of the fence, where they're placing bad things to get political gain. And that's the problem. Meaning both you know, Democrat and Republican are placing, you know, so they can get political gains in this you know, election, saying, oh, you know, this is this and that is that. They're placing looters, and then they run to the rescue. Or they're doing, you know, they're placing vandals,
the
politicians, and then they come out to
the rescue. Excuse me. The politicians should have done something about this a long time ago. We had a black president. Wait a minute. Hold it. Let me finish. We had a black president. What did he do to prevent stuff like this?
But
he didn't
something.
Do a damn thing either.
Right.
And he was a black guy, you know?
Yeah.
So you gotta have people who are going to step up and change the way things are done. If they don't change anything, it's going to keep on going on.
Yeah.
And that's what's wrong with the politicians.
Yeah.
They're so damn afraid or unwilling
to
change.
Right.
Just look at with us, with the disabled.
Right.
Look at the struggle we have.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what we went through with the damn nursing homes, how they wouldn't get people out.
I know.
Yeah.
I blame the politicians for this, along with the killers.
Yeah. Every day, multiple times a day, any media outlet that would talk about a nursing home thing, I'm on every single media outlet's notification, Frank. And if they talk about
well, without the money, you're not going to go no place.
I know, but you know what? I'm still getting people every once in a blue moon.
Good. Tell them to put the money
once
in.
I do.
Hey, we got to get out of here.
You don't
Inner Sight. we'll be with you tomorrow night. Will people learn from their mistakes? Tomorrow night's show.
That's it. That's the important
Friday Nights
one.
The Follies.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening. Inner Sight means freedom. Advocates for the Disabled. 631-224-3090 is our phone number. And we'll be with you tomorrow night. We hope that the politicians will wake up and do something to try to
and
stop
learn.
The hatred and get people out of the who are in the wrong job. Get them out of there.
Right.
All right, thank you
and
so
it's
much.
Not
Inner
learning.
Sight. Inner Sight. Goodbye, world. Thank you. Inner Sight.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.